Right, really good morning. Welcome. Good morning. It's nice to see everyone. I just want to ask a question about last week. Last week we looked at our name and you missed it. Did you listen to it? Shocker. You won't know what I'm talking about then. We looked at how life shapes us, defines us, and we often give ourselves names that we know ourselves by, such as useless, failure, worthless, rejected, whatever you might want to think. But actually, in God, God gives us a new name, and that we need to be defined by the name that God gives us. So we stepped in to heaven together, and we encountered Jesus, and Jesus gave us a new name. Now, my question to anyone is, would anyone like to share what happened with them last week in the fact of God giving them a new name? Has it made a difference to you this week? Have you been meditating on it? Did it empower you? Was it something that happened last week and it's like, meh, that's gone now? Obviously, there is no pressure. I'm just throwing this out there, and I do have a reason for doing that. So the answer's, oh, Hayes. Would you like to share?
Yeah. Do you want me to come?
Yes, please.
I'm still working on this one, so but here I am. Forward.
Don't need to be picking up on that.
Right. Meek. Righto. Yes. Last week, as there's a saying, we stepped in, and one of the names that, well, that I had called myself failure, and this is really quite hard to share, but. So over the course of the week, I've been spending time with the Lord and working on areas where I have felt that I've failed, and it goes very deep indeed. So I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to share much more about that, but just to say that that was the name. And the Lord gave me the name Success. So I've been doing the divine exchange this week on areas where there's been failure that I've perceived as failure, and the Lord's showing me the larger picture in terms of success.
Thank you, Hayes, very much for that. It's powerful stuff when we engage this, and my encouragement to you is to do exactly what she's done. Often we can come here and we can have an encounter, we can have an engagement, God can say something, God can show us something, and by the time we've got home and had a cup of tea, we've forgotten it. Actually, if we meditate on this stuff, if we go to God again and again, we can go back with it. It will transform us. Imagine going from feeling your name is failure to God speaking, actually, you're a success. And if we run with that and if we pursue it. So that's, thank you for sharing that, Hayes. I know that was costly. Often in this environment, this is why I wanted to ask the question, is we don't say anything because we feel that we've got nothing to say. We've actually got nothing to share. And I want to challenge your thinking. Who was blessed by that testimony? It costs, but actually, it blesses, it empowers. I'm sure that at least one person will now think, I did just that, I didn't pursue that, I forgot it, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to grab hold of what God said to me, and I'm going to meditate on it, and I'm going to sue it a little bit more. We belittle who we are. We belittle what we've got to offer. We often discount ourselves from not being relevant. Now, I can't tell you how much my life has been impacted by people's testimonies, because when you hear what God has done in someone's life, you can take hold of that. Because if God has done that for you, he can do it for me. If God said that to Hazel, he can say it to you. It might be a completely different name, context, everything else. But testimony is so powerful, which is why we encourage people to share today, which was just fantastic for Jo to share her testimony about angels, for Karen to say, I'm having that. And she had a breakthrough as well. It's all about sharing our lives together and taking hold of what God has done. It inspires me to hear someone else's story. because I think what I say, what they've had done, I can have as well. Someone said to me just this week, because obviously last week I shared some stuff, and someone said to me, thank you. I admire you for standing there and talking about your struggles, because I can relate to that and it helps me move on. Now, for me, God told me a long time ago that my struggles, which I've had one or two, would actually be a stepping stone to other people's breakthrough and to other people's healing. That's why I'm always here saying, you don't know what I've done now, or this is what God's had to do with me, because actually it's reality. And God said that to me, and that's why I'm vulnerable, because God said my vulnerability would help other people find freedom and healing. And I think sometimes we look around and we're like, oh, they've got it all together. They are so sorted. Their lives are so perfect. But do you know what? That is such garbage. That's a tactic and lie of the enemy. The truth is, we have all become very, very good at wearing masks. We've all been very good at, no matter what's going on in here, this is my face. Steely grin, I'm going to smile. I'm not going to let you know what's going on the inside. And you know that presents something that's unattainable, because if you think that everything is perfect and you're struggling, where does that leave you? It can leave you feeling like a failure. So I can only encourage you, we are not all together. Whoever you may look around and see, they have stuff that's going on in their lives that is difficult. Probably what they're doing is pressing into God, hanging into God, struggling with thoughts, struggling with all sorts of things, but actually pursuing God so that they can come into freedom and healing. But we discount ourselves because we don't feel far enough on. We look at someone else and think, they are so far ahead of me. I'm just running to try and catch up. So I can't do it. Other people can do it better. I've got nothing to say, nothing to share. Comparison is a very dangerous game that we play when we start comparing ourselves to others. We look at others and we think, if I was more like them, then I would do this. If I was more like them, then I'd be all right. They do it so much better. Now, personally, I have spent many years hiding in Mike's shadow. Hiding behind my children, just hiding, really, because I didn't feel that I had anything to offer, that I was good enough, that I was relevant, that I have anything to share. Particularly as a church, when we started moving forward into new things of God and we started pushing into supernatural stuff, I'm sure this will be no surprise to you, but I didn't find it very easy. I struggled. My background, I come from quite a religious background. When I was a little girl, we went to church regularly, but if I tell you when we first started going to church, we didn't even have music in the church that I went to. It was really, really religious, really strict. Didn't find a lot of life in it. But unfortunately, what that left me with was a lot of religious strongholds, a lot of things that were denying really the amazing incredibleness of God, and it was quite rules and regulation based. And although I didn't like it, it kind of left me with some baggage and some blockages that I needed to deal with. Speaking in tongues, which is something that is so normal and natural today, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, just the Holy Spirit's presence was foreign to me, and I struggled so much with it. My head would always get in the way. And for those of us who've been baptized in the Spirit and that can speak in tongues, there's an experience that happens to you. There's an encounter at some point in time when you feel God fills you and you just speak this language of heaven, which the reason of it is that it builds you up on the inside. It teaches you in your spirit. It edifies you. And then you are more able to connect in heavenly things. Well, I didn't find it easy at all. My head always got in the way. And what I wanted was to be overwhelmed by this language that was going to burst out from me, this encounter with God that was going to completely overtake me. But it didn't happen like that. And I could see other people having encounters and engagements. And I would have odd little people would pray for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they would pray that the gift of tongues would be released from me. And I would have these odd, like, random little I don't know what I would have described them that as those, but whatever it was just me, I'm making this up, this isn't God, and it was a battle for me for a really long time. I tried everything that you could do. People would say, have a banana backwards. Try everything. Start talking gobbledygook and then God will take over. Random. Difficult. But the point is, I really struggled with it. When I wanted to prophesy. Now, prophesying is where you hear God and you speak out what you feel God is saying. And many years ago, it was the thing that you would have words from God. You know, we do it here now. We say we feel God says. Well, bearing in mind where I came from, this again was a foreign concept for me. And it took me a long time to recognize that I was hearing God, because I thought, I can't, I'm useless. I did, same old, same old. And I remember one evening I was in a meeting with ladies, and it was a worship meeting, so that we were worshiping God together, and people were just flowing in pictures and things they felt God was saying. And I just sat there like a lemon. And I said, I am not leaving this place until I prophesy, meaning until God tells me something that I am going to speak out. And I sat there the whole of the evening, and in the end I started having these pictures, and I immediately dismissed them as, this is me, this is not God, it's just me making this up, blah blah blah. And I actually saw waves coming onto a real pebbly beach, and the waves, I could hear the waves washing over the pebbles. I remember it now because it was so significant for me. And I could see the pebbles, and I could see the waves rolling over and then washing back out and then coming in, and I could hear the rush of the waves. And eventually I suddenly said, I think this might be God. Why else would I be thinking of this? And God very simply said to me that as the waves roll in on the shore and wash over the pebbles, so my love washes over you and cleanses you. And it was that simple. But actually, that was the first time that I heard God. Now, why am I telling you this? Because my struggles are not that unusual for a lot of people. Because I thought everybody gets things really, really easily. And it's only in time that God has said, share your struggles, that it's been really poignant that a lot of this stuff that we're now moving into, for me, my struggles started way, way, way back just in encountering God for myself. Anything that we move into, for some people, it's difficult. But God is faithful, and he wants to lead us, and he will deal with us where we are. Because then the next thing is, when we started going into encounters and engagements here, when we started stepping into supernatural things, we call it the new and the old. You know, the old is more based on the earth. In the new ways that God is moving, we can actually access heaven and bring heaven to earth. So we started by seeing steps up to heaven with a doorway and Jesus standing at the doorway. I couldn't even see the steps, let alone the doorway and Jesus standing at the top. So that's where I came from. That's where I come from. So imagine that, and being married to Mike, who's out there somewhere, I know not where. All the adventures that he has. Can you imagine how inadequate, a failure, I've got nothing to offer, why is this so difficult, could be going around my head if I don't deal with it, which I didn't particularly well, because I thought I was the only one. We had some visitors from America, and they took us out for dinner, and God spoke to me really clearly in this situation. We went out for dinner with them. They were really lovely, and all evening they were picking Mike's brains about everything. They didn't stop. I was just like this, looking from one to the other. They wanted to know everything about his journey, where he got to as a church, what we were doing. They were incredibly hungry, and they just wanted to get from Mike. And I sat there, and I didn't understand a lot of what they were saying, and I certainly wasn't experiencing it at the time. And then at the end of the evening, as a tag on, one of them turned to me and said, "Say, Deborah, how about you?" And I was like, what have I got to say? I've got nothing to say in this situation. I felt really useless. And I said, I smiled, which I'd smiled a lot in the evening, you know, smiled. I just smiled and I said, well, it hasn't been quite so easy for me, I'm afraid. I'm still on my journey and I'm still pressing through in a lot of stuff. And I went home that night. I felt terrible. I said, Lord, what's this about? Why was I there? They only asked me because I was Mike's wife. You know, they couldn't really ask him without me. Now, I wasn't like, oh, poor me, self-pity. I was just, where do I fit into this? Where's my place? Where do I fit? What's my part in all of this? And anyway, I just laid it all down to God. And the next day, we met up again with these people in a wider group. And I happened to sit by one of the ladies that had been there the night before. And she said to me, very quietly, she said, I just want to tell you that it was worth my trip to the UK to hear what you said last night. And I said, what? I didn't say anything. And she said, you have no idea. You have helped me immensely because I too have found this journey difficult. She said, I know my spirit soars when I hear about all of this stuff, but I'm finding it really difficult to access it. So she said, I just want to thank you for what you shared, for your vulnerability. And something happened on the inside of me. Something changed. And I thought, wow, that's why I was there. That's why I bumble and stumble, because other people will bumble and stumble. And actually, if we can't relate to people where they're at, how are we going to reach a wide variety of people? And it became okay that I struggled, because I had really struggled. And I thanked God. This might sound weird, but I thanked God for my struggles, because the power of my testimony had helped someone else. My life story was powerful and impacted someone else. Now, wherever you are, whatever you've been through, whatever you are going through, you're one step further than someone else. And God can use that if you let him. But we spend so much time looking at what we're not and where we're not that we lose sight of where we are. So I just want to encourage you. And it's interesting, this morning someone said, what are you talking about today? And I said, well, I don't really know what to call it, but on the slide I've called it Be You. Be you? Be you. And someone said, because we've got to get it right, haven't we? And I said, no, you've just got to be you. And really, that's really what I want to share with you today. This is what it's all about, is be you. It's okay to be you, because wherever you are, you can impact someone else. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you've received, freely give. Whatever God has done in your life up to this point in time, you can give that away and you can be a blessing to someone else. Have you been forgiven? Has God forgiven you of something in your life? Then you know the power of forgiveness and you can give that away. Have you had an issue that really affected you that God has set you free from? Then you have a testimony that can set someone else free. Have you encountered Jesus? Then your life has been transformed. You can give that away. Your testimony is you. You can change someone else's life by being you. Not the you that was, not the you that you don't like, although your story is really, really powerful. But that's not what you're giving away. Because if you've met Jesus, he's changed your life. He's transformed you. You now know love. You now know forgiveness, healing, and restoration. And that's what you can give away to someone else. That God intends you to be. And I'm not dismissing the you that was broken, wounded, or anything else, because that was who you were. But when you start on a journey with Jesus, he takes that brokenness and he wants to restore you and reconcile all things in your life. Because what God has done for you, he can do for others. You may be someone's inspiration to change. Just like Alan said earlier, the phone call where he could say what's now going on in his life, how things have changed, that's because he's met Jesus. All of us have a story since we've met Jesus. People are looking for reality. They don't want masks. They want to know, this is where I'm at, this is the mess that I'm in, how do I get where you are? And it's through Jesus. We can be falling apart and in pain, struggling, wounded. How will people know if we don't let them in a little bit? Once I thought, and I genuinely thought, we had been in leadership in churches for a really long time, and I thought in order for God to use me, everything needed to be perfect and in order. Big failure. I thought I needed to be all together. I thought my kids needed to be perfect. My marriage needed to be perfect. That I couldn't stand, God couldn't use me, I couldn't pray for people, talk to people, do anything, unless I was all together. Do you know that's a big fat lie of the enemy? Because God wants us dependent upon him. If I'm all together and tickety-boo, who am I relying on? Me. God's not interested in that. He wants me to be dependent on him so that his life and his love flows through me. I've had to trust God in ways that I never thought I would need to trust God in relation to situations in my family, circumstances, things that have happened, things that are ongoing. I never imagined that I would be in this place. But do you know what? I am grateful for what God is doing in my life, because I would not relate to broken people unless I was broken myself. And when I look back to myself in a previous life, I was really judgmental because I had such strong ideals. And I'm so glad that God broke me out of that, because actually God wanted me to have a heart that is soft and full of compassion and love. And because of some of the things that I have gone through, he has broken my heart with the things that needed to be broken so that he can restore me and I can now see things in a different way with his eyes. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I don't thank God for the horrible things that have happened or ongoingly, but I do thank God that I can trust him that he will bring good out of it. Because that's what that says. When we surrender things, when we lay our lives before God, he will work things together for good. That means no matter what's going on, if I surrender it to God, he'll sort it out. I might not know what it's going to look like. I might not like the process, but that's where I can trust God and know that he is for me. In the voice, it says, we are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything to work toward something good and beautiful when we love him and accept his invitation to live according to his plan. And that's the decision that I made. I can either kick and scream and shout against the things that happen in my life, or I can say, God, you use whatever you want to use for your glory. Because if someone else gets healed, or someone else gets freedom or healing or restoration through something I've been through, then it'll be worth it. And that's what beauty for ashes is. You know, stuff in our lives is awful sometimes, but God can turn it around and create beauty out of it. Nothing is wasted in God. He can use any situation. He'll take you where you are. Wherever you are right now, God will take you and he can use you. So whatever's going on in your life, you can be a blessing to someone else if you surrender it to God and allow God to take you through it, because we are blessed to be a blessing. So if I'm one step ahead of you, I can show you that step that I've taken. If you're one step ahead of someone else, you can show them that step, and that's what it's about. You might think, but I'm not sorted yet. Got incredible mess going on in my life. Yeah, God knows that. And do you know what? He loves you anyway. He loves you in your mess. He loves you in spite of your mess. He just loves you. And when we surrender things to him, it becomes about him and Jesus and not about us. Whether we like it or not, people are looking at you. People are looking at me. People are looking at us. And they are forming their opinion of God based on what they see in us. Now, I want someone to look at me and see Jesus. In order to do that, I need to let God do some deep stuff in my life, because some of it's not very pleasant. So that's where we are. We are God's representatives. Wherever you are right now, you are God's representative. You know, sometimes it does us think, what do we portray? What are we showing? When I walk into a room, what happens? Do I bring a big dark cloud with me? Do I bring doom and gloom? Or do I bring a smile, a kind word, a word of affirmation or encouragement? Because we carry and we release. And it's good for us to think, what is it that we are releasing? See, we have the potential for heaven to flow through us. We are connected to God through our spirit. When we were apart from God, we were not spiritually alive and we functioned in the natural physical realm. But the minute that we become born again and God comes and lives on the inside of us, heaven resides inside of us. And our responsibility is to then learn how to open ourselves up so that heaven is not kept in here, but it flows out from us and through us. You are light. Oh, another slide, I forgot. Matthew 5, salt and light. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you here on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. If you know Jesus, that's you. You are light. That means light radiates from you. How bright that light is, it's up to you. We are all in a process. We carry the fragrance of heaven. Love, joy, peace, healing, justice, mercy, righteousness, hope. They all should be flowing from us. And I don't mean should in a condemning kind of way. I mean, this is who we are. Let's embrace it. And let's learn to open up the channels and let this flow from us so that we impact the people around us. The river of life on the inside wants to flow out. We can change the atmosphere and change the environment all around us. So we need to make sure that we deal with the things that could be blocking it. Those things that can get in the way. And this is where we can get stuck. If you look around and you see people you think are more further ahead than you are, you can discount yourself from the journey. But do you know what? We all start in the same place. We all start separated from God. We were created in eternity with a destiny and a scroll that became disconnected from God in this realm. But that connects at salvation, and it's no different for any single one of us. The difference is you are you, and you are unique, and your destiny and your plan and your purpose is different from anyone else's, but you can embrace it and you can fulfill it. God has no favorites. We're all his favorites. But you can look, you know, and I find this difficult. Because at times, Mike has embraced something. And I saw a picture one day of this gate in a field. And the gate was open and Mike was charging through. And he was nearly at the other end of the field. And I was running along behind him saying, wait, wait for me, wait for me. But my destiny and Mike's destiny, although they're together, they're not the same. And Mike is a pioneer and a visionary in a totally different way than God's got a call in my life. And that's okay. And it needs to be okay for you as well. But none of us has it any different. The reason that you could look at Mike and think, oh, he's just out there somewhere, is because he has taken hold of something and he has persevered. He has worked hard. He has surrendered. He has dealt with his wounds. He has dealt with all the blockages. He has dealt with the things that God has shown him to take his journey and his path. And I need to be responsible to deal with the things that will block my destiny and my journey. So I can't look at him and say, oh, it's all right for him, he's got it easy, because I know he hasn't. had it easy, but he has been steadfast. So I need to be steadfast in my journey so that nothing is going to block me and stop me. Do you know what? For a long time, I didn't think it was okay to be me, but it is. It's okay to be me, and it's okay for you to be you. Now, sometimes on this journey, we get to a place and you think, oh, I like it here. And we want to settle and we get comfortable. And we think, well, this is enough for me. We're on a journey with God. We can't settle. We can't stop. We can't get comfortable. Because we sing this song regularly. It says, you were born for such a time as this, to make history, for destiny, to see transformation, not only in your own life, but in there, out there, in the world. There is no stopping and settling. Well, there is, but it's not a comfortable place to be if you're going to stay here in the church here. Oh, that's in the wrong place. Philippians 3. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I have not arrived, but there is one thing I am doing. I'm leaving my old life behind, putting everything online for this mission. I am sprinting, take that, sprinting towards the only goal that counts, to cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively in Jesus, the Anointed. All of us who are mature ought to think the same way about these matters. If you have a different attitude, then God will reveal this to you as well. Basically, sprinting, moving. We're on a journey. There is no stopping. Athletes in training are very strict with themselves, exercising self-control over desires and for what? For a wreath that soon withers or is crushed or simply forgotten. That's not our race. We run for the crown that we will wear for eternity. Our journey is moving. It's not stagnant. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead. We can't live a Christian life, we can't be in relationship with God without action. Faith is a doing word, it's a moving word, and God calls us always to be moving forward, to be pressing into him, to be pursuing the things that he has for us. The same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. So we can't say we're one thing and not follow it through by our actions, by pursuing God. So where are you in this? Do you want to be all God intends you to be? You might think, yes. You might think, no, I'm okay, thanks. Be real with yourself. That's ultimately the only person that you can be real with is yourself and God. And I know that I've been in places where I'm like, whoa, get off now, thank you. Enough already, it's too hard. It's too costly. We have to deal with fear. What's it going to mean to press in, to pursue? Complacency. It's okay, I can't be bothered really. I'm all right where I am. Feeling settled. Feeling comfortable. Laziness. Sometimes we might feel stuck. God has given us tools, because these can be some of the blockages that will prevent us moving forward and pressing in. The reality is, you can feel stuck, and I've been there. I don't know how to move forward. I don't know how to break through this. I don't know how to go on anymore. It can be hard work. But we can deal with those blockages. God has given us incredible tools. We can forgive and release. We've got lie busting. We can go to the courts. We can pray for each other. We can encounter Jesus. We can step into heaven. We have incredible tools that God has given us. Let's not be robbed to stay where we are and fall short of our full potential in God. We have, in the heavenly realms, we've heard about mandates, scrolls, strategies. And I couldn't get my head around any of those things when we first started learning about them. But what is it? What's a mandate? What is a scroll? What do you want about? What do you mean? I'm not in that place now. because I've dealt with my head, I dealt with the restrictions. And a mandate is incredible because it's something that God gives you authority to do. How amazing is that? If God wants you to do something, he will give you the authority to do it. And that's what a mandate is. Simple. Took me a while to get that. Scroll. What's the scroll? It's really what God wants you to do. He gives you the authority and then he tells you what it is he wants you to do. And we can step in and ask God, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? And that can be our daily scroll. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. Just stepping in and asking God. Now, for me, I used to step in when we started learning about scrolls, and I could see a scroll, you know, a rolled up thing that you would do this. And I had images of all this writing on it and people having the scroll for their destiny. Their whole life story was going to be on this scroll. Well, I don't operate like that. I don't function like that. Some people may well. Some people may have pictures of things that they need to do. For me, I ask God every day, what is it that you want me to do today? Put me in the right place, bring the right people. When I speak to somebody, that the right words will come out. Now, I've submitted myself to do that. And I expect, and I know in here, that through the day, I don't always see anything else on my scroll. But through the day, people talk to me or situations occur that I know what to say that I wouldn't have known what to say. And I know it's because I've already prepared the way and I've already asked God to write on my scroll for the day what I need to know. It might look different to you, but that's the way that it works for me. But because we are unique, you will have specific ways. It might be pictures. It might be that God shows you pictures of things. That's great. It might be that you have reams of writing. That's also great. But whatever it is, it's like we need to start engaging in this stuff and seeing that the people that we come across, the people that we're in relationship with, we can be a blessing to. We can demonstrate Jesus to, and that we are bringing heaven to earth through our lives. Now, one of the things I keep saying about the blockages and the hurdles that I hit, one of the things that God really clearly spoke to me about was that disappointment was an area in my life that was huge. I was disappointed about things I didn't even know that you could be disappointed about when God started to work under there. And all the hurdles, the blockages that I'd hit in my Christian walk, which I've told you a few of them today, all left me disappointed. Why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Why can't I get this? And what it did was made me want to back right off from God because it was too hard. And God clearly showed me that it's where I was stuck. And so I just want to throw that out there to you, because hope postponed grieves the heart, but when a dream comes true, life is full and sweet. When you step out, when you believe God for something, and you really in here believe it, and it doesn't happen, it grieves your heart. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Disappointment that's stored on the inside of us makes our heart sick. And I just want to throw it out there with you today. If you have disappointments in your relationship with God and things that you've pressed into, things that you thought should have worked out certain ways, today is the day to deal with that. Because I know this is a very complicated picture, but what I've said is on the inside of us at salvation, God comes and lives on the inside of us and wants us. He wants to flow out through us. And we have senses outside of our spirit. Our spirit is pure because it's where God is. But outside of our spirit, we have gateways, as you've probably heard them called, or senses where God wants to flow out. And one of those senses, right at the center and the bottom, is hope. Now, if you are disappointed, if there are situations, your gateway of hope can be blocked. So where you want to see yourself pursuing God, where you want to see yourself pressing in, and all the things we've talked about today, you may have a blockage there. I had a blockage outside there. God told me that I was a hope bringer. But he said before that you're going to have authority and anointing, you need to deal with the disappointment, because the opposite of hope is hopelessness, but also disappointment. And that was really big for me. Definition of hope that I found yesterday is waiting for. Now, you can hope it's going to be a sunny day today, and you can hope for an ice cream later. Is that really hope? No, that's what you would like. Hope, in the sense of what we're talking about, is waiting for, desiring, and our hope is in God, is in his faithfulness. And so we don't want anything that's going to get in the way of blocking that, because that ties in with faith, which is another one of those gateways right next door to hope. Faith is believing what God says is true, whether we can see it or not. Simple definition. Those two things work closely together. If your hope gateway is blocked, or you have disappointment, it's going to be difficult you to believe in faith for God to do what he says he's going to do, because you've been let down or disappointed in the past. So just be asking God now if there are areas that he wants you to deal with, to do with disappointment. Because as I say, on my scroll, one of the things that he did see was bringer of hope. But I had to deal with hopelessness first. When God called me to be in government, to have authority on the Good News Mountain, it's all about hope, isn't it? So I had to deal with my stuff before I was going to have authority. But I did deal with it, so I do have authority. And I know that God uses me to bring hope in other people. And there's a declaration that I say every single day. There is hope for change in every situation. No matter what's going on, no matter where you're at, there is hope for change. You never blow it too far from God. There is always hope for change because Jesus brings hope. So, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you future and a hope. So God desires intimate relationship with you. That's the first thing he wants, is for you to know that he loves you, that he loves, that he loves, that he loves you. The most important thing is that intimate relationship with him, so that you can come into the plans that he has for you. Because one doesn't work without the other. Because if you try and fulfill your destiny without knowing God's love, you get into striving and works and you're trying to do it on your own. That needs to flow out of your relationship with God. And when it does, then it's okay to be you. Because you can change someone's day just by relaxing in who God has created you to be and allowing heaven to flow from you. You can bring words of life and truth to people without even knowing it, just by speaking God's words. See yourself making a difference. See yourself as a hope bringer, as a life bringer. Now, recently we've dealt with some things that could be hindrances to people pressing into this. So I'm encouraging you today, if God has shown you anything, complacency, fear, laziness, stubbornness, can't be bothered, whatever it is, don't be robbed of pressing through to God and seeing who he calls you to be. I woke up this morning, and I've been thinking about disappointment, which is not an issue in my life anymore. And I don't really think about it, because if it comes now, I deal with it. Because the point of a root or a blockage is it is just there. It's like your knee-jerk reaction, if you like. So something happens that doesn't go your way and you're automatically disappointed and you go into disappointment. It's the same with any root, isn't it? Like unforgiveness or anger or whatever it might be. It's like your knee-jerk reaction. Mine used to be disappointment. It's not anymore. And if I get disappointed now, I deal with it straight away, because I'm not going back to that place. This morning I woke up, there were three things that I could have been disappointed about. And I don't think about disappointment that much anymore. And I'm like, how easy it is to get tripped up if we're not on the ball with stuff. It might not be disappointment for you. It might be something completely different. But there were three things that I thought, that would have tripped me up once upon a time. I would have gone into that one. It's for us to be aware of. And what happens is when we deal with those roots, then it's easy to live short accounts and lives of freedom. But when we have a root that's deep down on the inside of us, it's very difficult not to go into it. We need to deal with it and let God heal us from it. So what kind of things could we be disappointed in? Well, for those of us who've been around a long time in Christian circles, You can actually be disappointed in God. Now, that's not real in the sense of God cannot let you down, but you can feel he has. If that's true, there's no point being religious about it and thinking, well, you shouldn't be disappointed in God, you can't be. Actually, if there's an emotional response on the inside of you where you feel let down, let's get real and deal with it, because it will continue to trip you up. Maybe God didn't do something that you thought he ought to do, or that you thought he said he was going to do. Maybe you're in a mess now because you feel God hasn't come through for you. Maybe you think, what's the point? I tried really hard. I thought God was saying something and I pursued it, but obviously I got it wrong, and you're disappointed. It can be anything, but today, let's get real with God and let's deal with those things. I would like us to pray and let's step in together, if that's all right. Can I have that music? There are, for some people, I know that they find it much easier to write things down, whether it's draw a picture or write something out. There are pens and paper over there, that's helpful. So we just relax now and close our eyes and just focus, just see that doorway on the inside. Open the door of your spirit and step through. Let's step into a meadow space. Can see like green grass, lush grass, with a stream or a river running through it. And just picture yourself sitting on a rock at the edge of the river stream. And Jesus comes alongside you. And he sits down on the rock beside you. And he invites you to talk to him about your disappointments. Those things where you felt let down. Puts a basket on the floor and he invites you to put those situations, those circumstances into the basket. To exchange feelings of being let down, where it has locked you up. And he understands. But he wants today to be a fresh start for you. And he reaches down into the stream, the river. And in his hands he cups water from that river, living water. And he offers you to drink from his hands, from the river of life. And as you drink, receive healing and cleansing. Allow this living water to wash over you and through you. water, that living water, the water of and the river of life, to flow into every wounded area. To bring fresh hope. Today is a new day. Receive cleansing. If you don't know Jesus, you can just receive him today as he sits before you. Just invite him into your life today. If you've been away from him, his arms are outstretched. Just receive his love. Look into his eyes of love. Receive his affirmation, his delight, his pleasure in you. Just receive forgiveness. Where your attitudes may not have been right to do with disappointment, where you may have been angry. Just lay it down now, put it in that basket and receive forgiveness. Receive freedom. Receive cleansing. With Jesus, that he affirms you that it's okay to be you. His eyes of love, just let them penetrate deep into your soul to bring healing and restoration. Let him now give you a new scroll, a scroll from today that he can place deep on the inside of you, that in relationship with him you can start to unravel and see where you fit and where your destiny will take you. As you stand up, I can just see Jesus stand before you and he wants to put a new robe around you. He wants to put a crown upon your head and a scepter which symbolizes authority in your hand. Calls you forth afresh today, saying, rise up and be all that you were created to be. Embrace your destiny. Your uniqueness. Just embrace the you that God created you to be. And he will show you, he will guide you, he will direct you as you walk with him. If you want to stay in that place, that's absolutely fabulous. If you struggled with that in any way, or there's anything that you feel God has shown you that you'd like some help with, then we'd love to pray with you. The ministry team are here to pray, to stand alongside you, to pray with you. And we worship together in a minute. Embrace that. Embrace your scroll. Embrace what God is saying to you. Anybody want to share anything that God showed them?
I've just been sat there this morning. I wanted to share something earlier, and God said, told me to sort of sit and wait. But when God speaks into your life, when God gives you something to do, you can be sure that it's only going to be attainable through him and with him. And many years ago, when I was a young Christian, God spoke to me. I went to a meeting, and I was very shy, very back, hidden away. And the guy at the front pointed me out, and he said, I've got a word for you. And whoa. And actually, the sum of that word was, you're one day is going to be as bold as a lion. And that, for me, I knew right at that point that that was... for me, where I was at that point, that was completely out of my comfort zone. I didn't know how to speak, I didn't know how to share anything. But on that journey, and that, this is what Deb's saying, on that journey, you face obstacles, you face things, you face stumbling blocks, you face blockages. And actually last Sunday, when we were here, God gave me a new name. Son of Courage. And I knew in a way what that meant. That was just reaffirming something, but it was also brings us challenges. And I know yesterday, this is where the reality of it is, and where the ongoing journey with God, and you're walking in things and you're opposing things. But yesterday I was faced with an opportunity to pray for somebody who I know had got a problem with the back, but I backed off from it through fear, whatever, and other things that were going in my head. But I knew that God presented me with that situation to grow in him, to outwork what those words meant, to be bold as a lion, to be a son of courage. But I've learned over the time with God that God makes room for mistakes and for failures and for things, and because, like Deb said, you can let disappointment come in on that, and you can be disappointed. And yeah, it was for a moment I was disappointed yesterday, because I knew what God could do in that man's life. I know what God could do in that situation. But through things going on in me, I retract from that situation and left that situation as it was. But, you know, be encouraged. Actually, whatever God is speaking to you about and whatever God's giving you to do, that he knows that it's not going to be a plain walk in the park. It's not going to be a ray and a clap and a happy thing ever all the time. But actually, yeah, you're going to face those things, those issues in our lives, and those struggles and those pains. But God has given us the ability to overcome and to pursue and to be, as Deb said, to be you, to be me, to be the person that God's called us to be. And sometimes that does mean for us to step in out of our comfort zones, taking us into areas of our lives and areas of situations that are beyond our natural thinking. And so I thought, I just felt really my spirit this morning to share that with you, that God has got a call and a purpose for each one of you, in each one of your lives, and a purpose. But it's being able to continue to take those moments of courage and those moments of faith. Because without faith, it says there's no pleasing God. So actually, it is all about faith.